Okay, today we're starting with the Gemara on Tevav Amabed. We saw yesterday, we learned all the Mishnayot of the Perek that talked about what they did on a Tamid. Today, we're going to get into a lot of the details of what we saw yesterday and why they do things. You'll see, if you look at the sheet, you can see there's a lot of questions. Like, why do we go out? Why do we go to the Rechov? Why do we take the Teva out? Why do we, you know, all sorts of questions. We're going to see that some of the questions, it goes as if it's going according to the order of the Mishnah, what it's mentioned in the Mishnah. But then they start asking questions that aren't even mentioned in the Mishnah, like, why do we do this? And you'll say, but it doesn't even say this in the Mishnah. But you'll see that it was clear that they were relating to minhagim that went on, even if they weren't mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, there were certain things that were mikubal to do. And therefore they start asking questions about them, as if they're in the Mishnah, even though they're really not in the Mishnah. Seder Taniot Kitzad. Okay, now we start off first with a question on the Mishnah, which I talked about last time, which is, it just says, what do you do during the Taniot? Motzi'ina Tateva. And then they say, Va'afilu Bekamaita. Do we do this? It seems to imply on all Taniot. And yet we know, right, that we already learned this, that we don't take the Teva out only for the third set of fasts. As they say, but the Mishnah just says, Seder Taniot Kitzad, as if we're relating to all Taniot. So it says Ruminu, and that contradicts, if we assume that our Braita is talking about all fasts, it contradicts a different Braita, I'm sorry, our Mishnah is talking about all fasts, it contradicts a different Braita, which says, Shalosh Taniot Rishonot Ushniot, Nichnesin LeBeit HaKnesset U'mitpalalim K'derek Shemitpalalim Kol HaShanah Kulah U'B'Sheva Achronot Motzin Et HaTeva L'Rechova Shel Ir. And on the first two sets of fasts, you daven in the Beit Knesset, like you do all year. And only in the third set do you, right, the seven fasts, do you go outside to the center of the city. Benotnim Eper al Gabei HaTeva, the Braita continues, and they would put ashes on the Teva. Uber Rosh HaNasi, Uber Rosh HaBitin, V'chol Echav V'Echav, Notel V'Notem B'Rosho, and everybody else puts on their own heads. Rabbi Natan Omer, Efer Maklehe Mevim. In the Braita, the first opinion, it just said Efer, and comes Rabbi Natan and says it was specifically Efer Maklehe. We talked about this, the difference between if it's burnt ashes or just regular ashes. We'll see later why.
There was a note here in English about that. It said something that, compared it to Efer Paraduma.
Right. I actually saw that. Yeah.
There was some connection
to distinguish it from the Efer Paraduma.
As opposed to Afar.
Right. I also read somewhere that, right. And then as opposed to Afar, which we're going to see in the Gemara, I also read somewhere where it talked about that that some people say that Efer has to actually be from a live. I think Tosfot says it. Is that where I saw it? Tosfot?
Boto
Efer Havi Me'etzem Adam, Tosfot says. Sharehu Efer Havi Lizicharon Akedah Obakedah Yatzam Ayatzamot. And then Rav Yaakov Emden says, how could you possibly burn people's bones for this kind of a thing?
Right.
And he says, in Dafka the Akedah is the opposite. But in the end, it wasn't the bones of a person. And this is an interesting diyun about it. Okay. So now, this, again, this isn't our issue right now. We only brought this to answer the contradiction of the Braita and the Mishnah. And then the Gemara answers, don't worry, our Mishnah, Amar Papa, Kitna Nami Matniti, and Hashem Achronotnan. Our Mishnah was talking about the seven last ones. It didn't say so explicitly, but that's clearly what they were referring to. So it's not a contradiction. It's just, almost you could think that this was a way of specifying. Just so you should know, this is only the seven last fasts. Uber Rosh HaNasi. So now, what would happen? They would put the ashes on the Rosh HaNasi and the Rosh of the Av Beit Din, and then everyone else would come and take ashes and put it on their own heads. So now they say V'Hadar Tane. Right after it says B'Rosh HaNasi, it says Kol Echav V'Echad Notem B'Rosho. I think is the Nosach. Notem B'Rosho. And then the Gemara says Ini. Is that really true? Two questions we're going to have on this. First, Rebbe Omer, Bigdula Matchilim Min HaGadol, Ubiklala Matchilim Min HaKatan. Okay, when it comes to things of greatness, we always start from the important person. But when it comes to things of klala, which this is really a klala, right? We're putting Efer on his head. You should start from the least important. How do we know this? Bigdula Matchilim Min HaGadol, Shenemar, Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, Ula Elazar V'Itamar. Okay, right? He says this is after the death, and he wants to tell them all sorts of commandments. Who is he speaking first? Moshe speaks to Aharon, and then his two sons, right? You start with the greater one and go down. ובכללם מתחילים מן הקטן. How do we know that? בתחילה נתקלל נחש, ואחר כך נתקלל החווה, ואחר כך נתקלל אדם. Right, good proof that women are less important than men. Okay, so now what do you see? But right, the nachash got the klala first. So you see, we go in that order when it comes to klala. So now, what do they say? What does it mean klala and gedula? In this kind of situation, it's not a klala. They're not cursing them. They're not saying you should be cursed. What are they doing? So the Gemara answers, ha chashivuta lididhu. This is considered an issue of prominence, of kavod, for the nasi and the abbetim. Why? De'amri lehu, it's like the people are saying to them, atun chashivitu lemibayin lelam rachameh. Okay? You, al kol echad. Okay? You are important people that you're the ones who were choosing to ask rachamim for us. So it isn't a matter of respect, it's not a klala. And therefore they start with them. Okay, another question about this. Bechol echav echad notem berosho. So now, what are they going to ask? Nasiva av beitin nami nishkelu inhu v'ninchu baroshayu. Why don't they put the ashes on themselves? Just like all the people put the ashes on themselves. Maishna deshakel inishachurini umanach lehu. What's the difference that, you know, regular people put on their own heads and the nasi, we put on their heads? Amar Rabbi Abba demin kesri, eino dome mitbayesh me'atzmo lemitbayesh me'achirin. Now this is a strange answer. Because it doesn't exactly explain... This explains the difference between someone putting ashes on someone's head and someone putting ashes on his own head. It's not explaining, though, really, why, still, then maybe everyone should put ashes on someone else's head, right? It reminded me of Leil HaSeder. When we say it, Leil HaSeder, we're all considered free people, and therefore everyone should have somebody wash their hands for them or pour the wine for them, right? So here you have... here you have this issue. So the answer, just so I explain the answer so everyone understands, mitbayesh la'atzmo is someone who embarrasses himself, right? And someone who someone else embarrasses him publicly is much more significant. So the Av Beit Din and the Nasi have somebody embarrass them in public. They have somebody put ashes on their head, which makes much more of a bigger statement than if they put ashes on their own head. So then you have to wonder, so why only them and not, because really the question was, why do they do it only to them and not to everybody else? So Rashi says that, because of their importance, it's more embarrassing. This is something you can question, but let's go with Rashi. He's saying, important people are more embarrassed if other people embarrass them, rather than a regular person. A regular person, if other people embarrass them, it's not as embarrassing if you're an important person. I was thinking about, you know, current events, local news. I mean, all these leaders who end up becoming embarrassed publicly, right? They do something wrong and they get convicted. It's much more embarrassing for them than a regular person who gets convicted. And why? Because it becomes much more public. Everybody talks about it. If somebody gets, you know, put in jail for corruption, okay, so they did money laundering. It doesn't have as much embarrassment as it has for you know, a Rosh Memshala who doesn't. So that's where I think they're getting to at. That's where Rashi is kind of saying that. Therefore, these people, when somebody, right, if we did the same thing we do at Leil HaSeder, where everybody pours wine for everyone else, everybody puts ashes on everyone else's head, that's not such a big embarrassment. The big embarrassment is when they put the ashes on the head of the Nasi and the Av Beit Din.
This also says it makes them feel more humble, that makes their prayers more efficacious because humility is essential for the sake.
Okay, so it humbles them, you could say. Okay. V'hecha manach lehu. Now, where are we putting these ashes? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'mkom tefillin. Okay, exactly in the place, b'makom tefillin, right, where we put the tefillin on the head. Sh'ne'amar lasum la'avilei tzion latet lehem pe'er tachat efer. Here's a pasuk in Yeshayahu which talks about what's going to happen in the future when we get redeemed. We're going to put the pe'er in place of the efer, in place of the ashes. So what do you see? The pe'er, right, tefillin, they always say is pe'er. It's tif'eret, right, milashon tif'eret, something glorious. So we're going to put something glorious in the place of where the ashes were. So from there we learn that it's in place of ashes. You found where we are, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
At the very top of Tetzayin Amar Aleph?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rechov tevav esakim efer efer kura umoria siman. Okay, here's a siman for all the questions we're going to go through right now. Okay, I told you in the beginning, for those who were here in the beginning, that we had yesterday we learned all the Mishnayot of Perek Sheni, exactly the talich that they would do in the Beit Hamikdash, in the zmanim when they did taaniyot, what they would do, and now we're going to ask all sorts of questions on different sections, and then we're going to get a little bit off on a tangent at the end. Okay, we're going to see, you could figure out already that Moriah is for sure a tangent. And even Kvura, you'll see, that I mentioned also in the beginning, I'll repeat it, that some of these questions they're asking about things that aren't even mentioned in the Mishnah. They're asking, why did they do various things on Taniyot? And within that list are a few things that we didn't even see in the Mishnah. It was just things that were clearly Nahug in those days. So once they're asking questions, they ask questions also in those. It didn't bother them. They didn't appear in the Mishnah. Lama yotzim l'rachov? Why did they go out into the middle of the city? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, Lomar za'aknu b'tzin avalona enenu, nivza atzmenu b'farhesya. We've already cried out in private, and it hasn't helped us. So now let's embarrass ourselves in public. You know, let's lower ourselves and demean ourselves in a public manner. That's one opinion. Rish Lakish amar, galinu galutenu, sorry, galinu, psik, right? Galutenu mechaperet alenu. We are going into galut. Going out into the city is saying, normally our place of prayer is in the shul. Today, we're going to be goleh atzmenu. We're going to move to a different place, because that's humbling, right? Oh, it's always humbling when you do something in the place you're not used to doing it. We're going to humble ourselves, and therefore we're going to say, galutenu mechaperet aleinu. Just going out into the middle of the city to daven and saying, we can no longer pray in the shul, that's a way of our asking God that our galut, our being exiling ourselves, should be a kapara for us. Okay, so now they're going to say, my binayu. So what's the difference between these two? Ika benayu digale mi beknista le beknista. If you move from one shul to another shul, okay, like everybody who davens at OLRE is going to go to Kilat Nativo, you know, and already that's going to be like a siman of galut, right? So that would work if you say Rish Lakish's answer. But if you say Za'aknu B'tzina, now we're going to be Zo'ek B'farhesya, that doesn't help. Okay? So therefore, there's a difference between them in terms of a situation like that, that you wouldn't necessarily need to go out to the middle of the city in order to do the galut one. We're going to see, by the way, you can see the way I charted it, there's a lot of these questions that there's going to be two different answers to them, and then there's going to be a Mai Benayu and an Ika Benayu. Okay? Not the next two, but after that, we're going to go back to the same structure. So why do we do it L'Rechov Ashalir? Why do we carry the teva? Why do we carry the Aron Kodesh out to the middle of the city? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lomar klit sanua hayalanu v'nitbaze ba'avonenu. Okay, it's to say we had this klit sanua, okay, and now we've basically embarrassed ourselves because of our sins. Okay, it's like a siman of the, right, of the Aron Kodesh, of the, right, they're basically saying that they're using the Aron Kodesh as a way of saying the Aron Kodesh was nigle also. Like, we're taking the Aron Kodesh out of its place is like a big deal, right? So if you take this teva where there's a Sefer Torah in it and you take it out of the shul, it's like saying, it's almost reminiscent of what happened in the time, right? It's connecting all these bad times to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash also. Okay. The Lama Mitkasim B'Sakim. Why do we cover ourselves with sakim, with sackcloth? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Lomar Hare Anu Chashuvim Kebehema. To say that we're nobodies, we're like animals, okay? We've lost all significance. And what do animals have to do with sakim? So there's a few different explanations given. Some say that animals, the sakim, the sackcloth, was made from the hairs of the sheep or the goats. So the sack is reflective of animals. Some people say that's how the animals covered themselves up in these things, in these sakim, or somehow it connects with something the animals do. Why did they put the ashes also on the teva? Okay, they put the ashes. I'm trying to remember if this came up explicitly in the Mishnah. Yeah. It did. Yeah? Okay. Right. So Nodnime from Aklal Gabe Teva. So they would put this on the Aron Kodesh. So now we have a few different explanations. Amar Yehuda ben Pazi, Klomar Imo Anochi Betzara. It's like the Pasuk, God is with us in our suffering. Okay, and therefore the ashes, right, the Sefer Torah is reflective of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rish Lakish amar b'chol tzaratam lo tzar. In all of their troubles, it's also difficult for him. Right? What's the difference between these two? It's not so clear. Mm-hmm. Right? They're both kind of ways that God is with us, either imo anachi b'tzarah, or he's upset every time we have tzarah. There's a few explanations given for these, what this means. What does it mean that God's with us in our troubles? So you could say, number one, when we're feeling bad, right, kind of like a parent, he feels bad, right? You're only happy as your most happy child, right? So when he's unhappy, when we're unhappy, he's unhappy. Other people say, no, the Jewish people are God's people. So if it's bad for them, it reflects poorly on God. And it has to do with him, right? That's how it reflects on, it's like a reflection of God. Amar Rabbi Zera. Meresh, here's a third thing, right? Again, I'm not sure if there's really a big difference between the first two psukim given. I didn't find any good explanations for that. Amar Rabbi Zera, here we have a totally different one. Meresh ki hava chazina lu l'rabbana. It's actually unclear. I'll tell you from the beginning. It's unclear whether there's a third option or he's just saying something. But see, they seem to explain that it's really a third option. We'll see in a minute. Meresh ki hava chazina lu l'rabbana diyave Ephraim makleal gabe teva. The first time I saw this, they put ashes on the Sefer Torah, right, on the teva where the Sefer Torah was. I was like, I shook with, you know, made a huge impression on me. So then people say, that's what he's saying. He's saying this makes an impression on people. So I think, okay, people put ashes on their head. To have ashes on the Sefer, you know, on the box with the Sefer Torah is, wow, that is, you know, that's what it says. Yeah? There's a nusach that actually says here, I think it's in the Yerushalmi maybe, that it's not the meresh, the first time, it's every time. Every time I see this, it gives me goosebumps, right? Okay. The lama nonim efer barosh kol achav echad, plige bar Rabbi Levi bar Chava Rabbi Chanina. Chad amar, hare anu chashuvim lefanecha ke'efer. Okay, one is the ashes are a siman of nothingness, right? And we're basically saying we're like nothing, which goes along with the Behema one, right? It's this whole attitude. If you notice, by the way, there's always these themes that come up in Slichot and all these tefillot that we say on days like this. And one theme among them is we're nothing. We're Ephes. We're Shaveh, you know, Shaveh nothing. On the other hand, right, there's always the contrast. We're important and therefore we need to do something, right? It's that contrast between saying you're nobody and on the other hand feeling like you're a somebody and you have to do something about it. Okay, so one approach is to say we're nobodies, and the other one, v'chan amar, kidei sheyizkor lanu afrosh al Yitzchak. Okay, and this is what we talked about before, about the bones, and that it's supposed to remind us of the ashes of Yitzchak and how much Avram was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak. Okay. My binayu, ika binayu afar stam. If you take dust, that would work instead of ashes, according to the first opinion, because dust is nothing. However, it wouldn't work if you want to remind us of the Efer of Yitzchak. Lama yotzim lebeit hakvarot. Okay, I want to point out, as soon as I charted this, it was obvious to me, this is why charts are good, that this next one is the exact same lineup as the one before. Okay, we'll see in a minute. The two differences between, are we trying to make ourselves feel like something, or are we trying to remember some historical event, or remember, have the zikaron of something meaningful for us, right?
Kind of that Ika Benayhu is never a real in-depth explanation. It's just a practical.
Right. Well, that's right. So my Benayhus are usually, right, what's the practical difference between the two? It's different here. It's almost, it's not saying, right, the truth is it is, I guess, halachic, whether you could use, like, let's say you didn't have ashes, could you use dust? So it's sort of halachic, but it's sort of to try to say, often it's really more a logic game of, why didn't this guy think that one? Why didn't he think that? And it's kind of saying, oh, that's where we could key in on the real difference between them. Even though there's really other differences between them, which I'm going to show you in a minute. When we see these two lined up against each other, you'll see. So lama yotzin lebeit hakvarot. This is the first example of things that aren't mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay, some people said they went before, some people said they went after, but they would apparently go to the cemetery. Okay, which we know from on Yuret sites, people go to the cemetery. Sometimes on other days, they go to the cemetery. So here there was a minhag on fast days, they go to the cemetery. Plegi Rabbi Levi Bar Chama v'Rabbi Chanina. Chan amar hare anu chashuvim lefanecha kemetim. Same idea, right? We are nobodies. We're like dead. Okay, we always use the Akedah as an example of, let the zchut of Yitzchak, that he was ne'akad, right, or almost ne'akad, live for us, to be a zchut for us, in the zikaron, right? It comes up in zichronot. So here, it's the same thing. We want the dead people to be mevakesh rachamim aleinu, and that's like a certain tfisa, right? Whereas I think the other tfisa, right, there's two different tfisot going on here. The other one is more, it's all about you. Don't expect other people to do things for you, right? Like some people like davening at kivrei tzadikim, and some people that doesn't, they don't relate to that, right? It's more, we should think of ourselves and work on ourselves more so. And, you know, you can imagine both these things, it was Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina, they were arguing, I assume they clearly fit into this, both of these were one guy and both of those are the other guy, because they're really the same idea.
Is pligeba consistently like the more theoretical difference between them?
No, pligeba just means there's a machloka between the two of them. We just don't know who said what. That's okay. The issue.
Okay,
that's why it says pligeba. It doesn't say he said this and he said that because they just don't know who said what. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're just saying, we know there's a machloka between these two guys about this, and one said this and one said that. Okay, now we have, so my benai, what's the difference between them? Ika benai, kivra akum. If you go to a non-Jewish cemetery, it'll make you think about dead people and make you think about the fact that your life is short and, you know, you better take advantage. But it's not going to help you for them to be more rachamim alecha. Okay. Now we get totally off the topic, or maybe not totally because it does relate to the Akedah, but, and the other thing that connects it, which is, I assume why it's here, it's another machloka between Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. We just don't know who said what. So it's got the same structure. My har hamoria. Pligi bar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama Rabbi Chanina. Chan amar har sheyatzei mimenu hora'a liYisrael. It's a mountain that taught the Jewish people something. It taught them a lesson, okay? And that's why it's called Moria. They're being doresh the name Moria. V'chan amar har sheyatzei mimenu mora la'ovdei kochavim. This is interesting, right? The Akedah had very big impact on the non-Jewish world also. You can see they all talk about it. It's not, right? It's not only in our world, not all of them, okay? Not... Right, it's interesting because it's the Ovdei Kochavim. Really, it was the Nosrut that had a lot to do with the Akedah. I don't know how much the Ovdei Kochavim, but maybe in those days there was more talk about it. But it's definitely of the more famous events in our, probably the most. And it caused fear of the Akum of the Jewish people or of God. So there are two differences of how you view Moriah, and that's more, how does it affect us directly? It taught us something almost. You could almost, I wasn't sure it connected, but you could. It's just like we said that I'm like Afer, I'm like the Metim. It's all about you and what you learn from there. And some is it's more like a global issue, right? What it causes in a different way to other people. Okay. Hazaken Shebehem Omer Lefnehem Divrei Kibushim. Remember, he gives them a pep talk and he starts telling them about the importance of your Ma'asim. Tanu Rabbanan, he quotes from Yonah. We're going to see this again. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Im yesh zaken, omer zaken. Vim lav, omer chacham. Now they're getting into details. Remember it says a zaken shebahem. What if there's no zaken? So then we go with a chacham. Vim lav, omer adam shel tzura. If not, we take a person of stature, I think would be the best way to explain that word, tzura. Now it's unclear among the mefarshim what this means. Is it someone who is tall, is Rashi's explanation. Okay. Bal koma, sheish me'u, v'yikablu dvarav. Tall people have, sorry for anyone who's not so tall in this room, right? Tall people have effect on people. They have,
influence.
Yeah, but I was thinking of presence. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Other people say it means a person with good deeds. It means a person who's a Talmid Chacham, just not yet a Talmid Chacham. He's learned, but, you know, a nice learned balabas or something. Okay. So unclear exactly, but it's the next in line. So now they ask a question. We're gonna go back to the Braita after, but we kind of cut in the middle of the Braita and we start asking. Atu zaken de ka'amre afa gav de lav chacham hu? So now, what do you mean? Is zaken first and then a chacham? Mm-hmm. You're gonna take a zaken over a chacham, right? So now they say no. Amar bai hachi kamar im yesh zaken behu chacham omer zaken behu chacham. You find a zaken who's a chacham. A zaken doesn't override a chacham. A zaken shu chacham goes first. Vim lav omer chacham. And if you can't find an old chacham, then you find a younger chacham. Vim lav omer adam shel tzura. Okay, now what do they say? Here we go back to the Braita. Achenu, brothers, lo sak v'tani gormim, ela tshuva u'masim tovim gormim. Shekem atzinu v'anshenim v'e, shelo ne'amar bahem v'yar haluim et sakam v'etani tam. Ela vayar Elohim et maasehem kishavu midarkam hara'a. Okay, so now we quote that pasuk that we quote in the Mishnah. It's the same thing as our Mishnah. It's saying it's not about your fast because clearly you fasted two sets of fasts and I haven't done anything. Yes, you still need a fast, but it's all about how it affects you. Now, because they brought in those pasukim, they're going to go on with these pasukim. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, okay, the pasuk, if you look on the side, if you have the Torah or, it says, I'll read the whole pasuk, right? It's the pasuk, two pasukim before. It says, "Vayitkesu sakim ha'adam v'habehema, vayikru al Elohim b'choska v'yashuvu ish midarko ha'ra'a u'minach hamas asher b'kapehem." That's what they did. Then two pesukim later, it says, "Vayar Elohim et maasehem kishavu midarkam ha'ra'im." So now they want to darshan. What did these people do? What did they see? So they go back and they say, "What did they do?" They cover themselves with sakim ha'adam and ha'behema. They call out to God b'choska v'yashuvu ish midarko ha'ra'a. And from the Hamas Asher B'Kapehem. So now they're going to ask a few questions about this. Vayitkasu sakim ha'adam b'habehema. Maya v'avde. What does it mean they tied up the animals? Asre abehemot l'chu ve'et havladot l'chu. They tied up the animals and their children so that the animals couldn't nurse their children. Amru l'fanav, ribono shel olam, im ein atam rachem aleinu, ein anu murachamim al elu. Very powerful, right? Says, if you're not going to have rachamim on us, we're not going to have rachamim on them, and we're going to do something to them that's anti, right? It's against nature, right? Forcing them not to nurse their children. Some people, I'm trying to remember, I saw something, let me just remember. Right, Rashi switches this a little, that's what it was. Okay, look in Rashi for a minute. Right, this sounds like they're giving God an ultimatum, right? And that's, we're going to let them go when you forgive us, right? So now, Rashi says a little differently. Kolomar, kishem sha'ata omer l'rachem al elu, d'chtiv v'rachamav al kol ma'asav, kein t'rachem aleinu. It's more like the same way we expect as much from you as you expect from us. You expect us to have rachamim and untie these animals that we've now tied up. We expect you to have rachamim on us like that. So Rashi, it's not an ultimatum. It's using physical, actual things to kind of say what we want to say, which is have rachamim on us, the way you expect us to have rachamim on others. Okay. Vayikru'u el Elohim b'choska. They called out to God b'choska. So what does that mean? Mayamor, what did they say to God, right? This is the way the Midrash always fills in when you're missing stuff. Amru l'fanav, ribono shel olam, aluv v'she'eno aluv, tzadik v'rasha mi nidcha mipnei mi. Okay, if you have someone who's pathetic and someone who's not pathetic, you have a tzaddik and a rasha, who are you going to choose instead of who? Okay, there's a few different explanations of this, but that seems to be at least one explanation. In other words, we've clearly changed our ways, so choose us. Vayashuvu ish midarko ra'au min ha'chamas asher b'kapehem. My min ha'chamas asher b'kapehem, what does that mean? From the chamas that was in their hands. Amar Shmuel, afilu gazal maresh ubina'o bibira, okay, here we want to say that they went lifnim mishurat adin. What does that mean? They stole things. Now, let's say you steal. There's something called takanat maresh. We learned this before, I'm sure. It means that if you steal, the Torah says if you steal something, you have to return the object that you stole. But what if you stole a beam and you built a house using that beam? And now it's time to return what you stole. Do you have to take apart your entire house and give back that exact beam? We saw this in Sukkah. Now I remember there was the woman with the Sukkah and they built the Sukkah and she wanted her stuff back, right? So that's where it comes up. And the halacha is that you don't have to do that because they wanted to make it incentivize the gazlanim to give back things. Now obviously, time-wise, Ninveh happened a lot before they made this takana in the time of the Mishnah or Gemara. I don't know when, but anyway, but what they're saying is that they went lifnim mishurat hadin and they returned even the korot that were within the houses that they had built. They went and that's what it means, min ha'chamas asher b'kapehem, that they used with their hands and they did something with, they returned them. Am Rav Ada bar Ava, Adam sheyesh biyado avera u'mitvadeh, eino chozer ba. Okay, if you have an avera biyado and you do vidoy, but you don't return it, okay, Lemahu domeh. Okay, so let's say you say, I'm really sorry I stole your whatever, your beam. Okay? But then I leave it in my house. I don't return it to you. So they're saying that is like Lema udome. La adam, this is a very famous, I think they even use it in modern Hebrew. La dome la adam shetofesh sheretz biyado va'afilu tovel b'chol meimot shebaolam lo talot tefillah. It's like going into the mikvah holding a sheretz, right? I think in modern Hebrew they use a tovel v'sheretz biyado. It's like someone who, you know, he's going to the mikvah to purify himself, but he's holding a davar tameh. You'll never get pure that way. So that's the same thing as a person who steals and says, I'm really sorry I did it, but he keeps it in his house. You're obviously not sorry. Zirakomi ado, but as soon as he lets go of that sheretz, kevan shetaval barim se'ah miyad al talut tefillah. But then it's like magic. You dip in the arbaim se'ah, and it's like magic. You're pure, right? You're fine. Shene'amar, u'modeh ve'ozev yirucham. If you're modeh and you're ozev, and you leave what you did bad, Yerucham, you will get rachamim. Vomer nisan levavenu el kapayim el bashamayim. Okay, now they're trying to say, how does this connect with the kapayim? That the kapayim, asher b'kapehem, is their way of saying, nisan levavenu el kapayim, we're going to use our hands, right, to let go of what we did. Okay, and nisan levavenu el kapayim el bashamayim, your tefillah is only meaningful if you get rid of what's in your kapayim. It doesn't exactly work with the pshat of the pasuk, right? They're using kapayim in a different way. But they're saying we can, you know, there's like a hint to it, an allusion to it in that pasuk. Amdu b'tfilah moridim lefnei ha'teva zaken. Okay, now we're going to go more, we're going to see more brightot. There are clearly a lot of brightot about this whole ta'alich. We're going to see a few of them with very minor differences. Amdu b'tfilah afa p'sheyesh zaken b'chacham ein moridim lefnei ha'teva ela adam haragil. Okay, first thing. We're only going to take someone who's ragil. Okay, now we're going to say, What are you looking for?
The page.
Oh, you don't have the end. Don't happen there. Here, I don't need it. Okay. Ela Hadam Haragil. I just want to see something later. Right. Okay. Some nuskhot say Ezehu Ragil, but some don't. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mitupal Ve'enlo. Okay. What does that mean? He has children, Ve'enlo, but he doesn't have stuff. Ve'yeshlo Yigi Abba Sadeh. In other words, number one, it's someone with children. Number two, he doesn't have food. Remember, we talked about that last time. V'yeshlo yigi abasadeh. Not only that, but his livelihood. Here we're going to add a whole bunch of things to the list that we saw of what kind of, who the shliach tzibur needs to be in the Mishnah. We're going to add a few things. So the first thing we add is v'yeshlo yigi abasadeh. It means his livelihood is in the fields. Because some people, their livelihood is business, right? They're selling stuff, not... And they don't need the rain as much. So it has to be someone whose livelihood comes from the fields. Ubeito rekam, and he doesn't have stuff in his house. We're going to say immediately in the Gemara, what do you mean? Einlo means he doesn't have stuff. And beito rekam means he doesn't have food. We talked about this yesterday, that this is someone who, we want to make sure we avoid someone who in the drought year has stuff stored up from last year because he doesn't feel the pain as much. He's not going to be as serious about his davening. Upirkona'eh, we're going to get to what that means, pirkona'eh, so we're going to leave it right now. Ushval berech. Okay, he's an anav. Okay, he's humble. Umirutze la'am. He's someone who people like. Okay, he's a likable person. V'yeshlo ni'ima, and he has a nice voice. V'kolo. Okay, Rashi says shemoshe chalev. Right, like one of those chazanim that really gets to you. Right, gets to your inside. V'kolo arev. Okay, I don't know the difference between ni'ima and kolo arev. Kolo arev also seems to be has a nice voice.
Familiar with songs.
Okay. No, first that's one. After. Ubakilikro. No. Familiar with songs. Yeshlo ni'ima is familiar with songs.
Yeah, that's how they translate really? Here. And his voice pleasant.
Okay. I don't know. So Rashi on ni'ima says, Besume kala shemoshe chalev. So I don't know. What does it say there?
Sweet melody and his voice is pleasant.
Okay.
It's not that.
Fine. I don't know if there's a big difference between there. Okay. Ubakilikrot b'torah v'nevi'im u'b'ktuvim. Okay, he knows how to read Torah, Nevi'im, u'ktuvim. Why? Because he's going to have to read psukim in the tefillah here. The next thing is very confusing, and some people actually don't have this nusach, which makes a lot more sense. Not only is he bakilikrot b'torah v'nevi'im u'ktuvim, he's also bakilishnop b'midrash b'halachot u'b'agadot. Okay, this seems irrelevant, right? In other words, the fact that he knows how to learn doesn't necessarily... Right, doesn't connect. On the other hand, you might say you want someone who's very learned, and that's the issue. So therefore, some nuschot have it, some don't. Ubaki b'chol ha'brachot kulan, and as also it's in the middle of, he can read the Torah Nevi'im Ktuvim, and he's baki in the brachot, which all seem to be related to what he's going to, preparing him for what he's going to say, rather than baki b'midrashim and all that. On the other hand, you might say, again, like you take a guy who davened, and he doesn't know anything from the text, you know, like the texts are the background for everything. So maybe there's something to be said for that, that he should be someone who's also knowledgeable halachically and otherwise. V'yahavulei rabbanan einayu b'rabbi Yitzchak b'rami. Okay, now the rabbis, after hearing this braita, they said, he's the guy. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak b'rami, he's the guy who's got it. Now the Gemara asks, Hainu mitupal ve'ein lo, hainu beito reikam. Right, mitupal ve'ein lo and beito reikam is the same thing. Amar Rav Chisda, beito reikam here doesn't mean beito reikam the way we understood in the Mishnah, that he doesn't have any food in his house. Zehu shebeito reikam in ha'avera. His house is free of sin, meaning more likely Rashi says there's no chamas and gezel. There's nothing in his house that's reminiscent of sin. Uperkona'en. Amar Abaye, this is a great one for modern times. Zeh shelo yatsa shem ra b'yalduto. Right? When you go to appoint someone to the Supreme Court and they take out your whole, what you did as a child and did you smoke marijuana and did, right? This is like exactly that. You want someone who's perkona'en, because magia la prakim, that's what you talk about, they reach maturity, right? So it's a kid whose childhood, they want to make sure that he wasn't bad as a kid. Okay, interesting. Haitali nachalati ke'arye bayar. Now they're going to quote this pasuk, okay? Natsna alai bekol, 1 second. This is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, okay? Natsna alai bekola alkein sinetia. So my natna alai bekola, amar sutra bartuvi, amar rava, amar la, amar bichama, amar rabbi elazar, ze shliach tzibur. Okay, so again, the nusach is a little different. She'eino hagun hayored lefnei ateva. Okay, they're saying, my nachala, my people, B'nai Israel, were like an aryeh bayar. They called to me in their voice, in a terrible voice, like in a bad way, alkein sinetia. What they're learning from this pasuk is there's a way to call to God and there's a bad way to call to God. They say, what must that be? It's a shlech tzibor she'eino hagun. Okay, now from here to the end of the daf, we're going to basically see bunches of braitot. Okay, that all relate, they're bringing them, you have to remember because they're going to get off on tangents, but they're bringing them for this purpose, okay, from what we're going to get to in the beginning here. V'omer l'pnehem esrim v'arba brachot. This is what we talked about yesterday, the 24 brachot. Shmona esresh b'chol yom, u'masif aleim od shesh. So now, again, they're going to explain something that we explain right away because we couldn't read the Mishnah without explaining it. But they say, hane shesh sheva havyan. Keditnan al hashvi'itu omir. Baruch machem al ha'aretz. What was the issue? The Mishnah listed, it said there's 6 brachot they add, and then it proceeded to list on the first, on the second, on the third, on the fourth, on the fifth, on the sixth, on the seventh. What do you mean? You said there were 6, and then you say 7. So, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my shvi'it, shvi'it laruka. What does shvi'it mean? It means, and this is how we explained it yesterday, it's talking about the 7th one, which really is the first one. It's just they're saying the extra, in addition to the 6, because remember, what did we do? We have the bracha of Goel Yisrael, which is Re'ev on Yenu. Right? So they say the first bracha of Goel Yisrael, which here they're referring to as the 7th, because they're saying in addition to the next 6 that you do, right, after that you add the 6 of Zichronot and Shofarot and then the other 4 that come from Tehillim. They're saying you make this one longer, right? You say, Mishana l'Avraham, remember? Avraham Avinu, we say that before the bracha of Goel Yisrael. We take the bracha that already exists. We're not adding 7 bracha, we're adding 6. But in the regular ones, we're going to extend it and have a longer nusach that relates to the day. So now they're going to say, how do we know that? Kiditanya, because it says it explicitly here in this braita. Bigoel Yisrael ma'arich, there you have it. It says it explicitly in this braita, he's ma'arich. Ubechotamahu omer, misha anat Abraham bahar moria, hu yane etchem v'yishma b'kol tzakatchem ayom hazeh, baruch goel Yisrael. Okay, now what continues to happen? Now we're just, again, the rest of this is irrelevant for, they're just bringing in the whole braita, and then they're even going to say, there are some who bring in a different braita to prove this, which is almost exactly the same thing. So this is it for the end of the day, and this is very similar to what we already saw yesterday from the Mishnah. It's not so different. Okay, behein onim acharav amen, and then they answer amen. Bechazana Knesset. Now, this we didn't see in the Mishnah, but where did we see it? We saw it in the Mishnah, the story of Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyom, which we're going to also see in this Braita. If you recall, remember, they said there was a case in front of them where somebody said, Lo anu acharav amen, or Kan anu acharav, right? We didn't know what the issue was there. It's not going to be 100% clear here either, but anyway, here's another version of this. Here they're just explaining what you're supposed to do. V'hem onim acharav amen. They answer amen, right? And they don't answer Baruch Shem Kavod. Right, machutol on bed, like they did in the mikdash. We're going to see in a minute that whole thing. B'chazan HaKnesset Omer Lam, after they answer Amen to the first bracha, the Chazan HaKnesset gets up and says, Tik'u B'nei Aaron, Tik'u, go blow. V'chozer V'omer, and then he says, Mishana Tavotenu Ayam Suf, Hu Yaneh Etchem V'yishma B'kol Tzachatchem Ayam Azeh, Baruch Zocher Nishkechod. We talked about yesterday, it's not clear whether he says blow, and then he continues to say, and he finishes the bracha, and then they blow, like we do in Malchut Yosef and Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, or whether he says blow, and they blow before they say the bracha. V'heim onim acharav amen. V'chazan HaKnesset Omer Lehem. Now we get to the next bracha. Hariyu B'nei Aaron Hariyu. Right? First Tik'u, then Hariyu. V'chein b'chol bracha u'bracha. V'echat omer Tik'u, v'echat omer Hariyu. And we talked about how most of them explained there was Tarat, right? Tkia Trua Tkia. And the other one was Ratar. Right? Trua Tkia Trua. B'med dvarim amurim, the Braita continues. In what case is this talking about? Bigbulin. Aval b'mikdash eino ken. Okay, now you see where the Mefarshim got it when they talked about that was the issue, is because here in the Braita it sets up that in the Mikdash they did this, and in Gvulin they did something else. So now, what are they? They can't answer a man in the Mikdash. Where do we learn this from? Shenemar, Kumer Bruchot Hashem Elokechem Min Ha'olam V'Ad Olam, Pasuk from Nechemia. He says, go bless Hashem Min Ha'olam V'Ad Olam. That's what he said. This new test, which very much sounds like Baruch Shem Kivod Machuto Olam Ve'ed. Okay, he said this text like that. Yachola Kol Brachot Kulan Lo Te'ala Tehila Achat. It says Al Kol Bracha V'Tehila. So they're saying Tehila is said in singular. It sounds like maybe on all the brachot you say one Tehila. You answer Amen once at the very end. Tamud Lomar Umiromam Al Kol Bracha V'Tehila. Im kol bracha ten lo tehila. And each bracha you make gets its own tehila, its own baruch shem kvom chtolam ve'ed. Ela b'mikdash mahu omer. So now, baruch Hashem Elohim, Elohei Yisrael, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, baruch goel Yisrael. So they would say this text, a brachot Hashem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, that's what they would say before they would say the bracha goel Yisrael. They would add that nusach. And then, v'hein onim acharav, what would they answer? Baruch Shem Kavol Mechuto L'Olam Ve'ed. Okay, so the Chazan says the text that Nehemiah himself said, right? And then, v'yivarchu was what he was telling the people. You should then be Mevarach Shem Kavol Mechuto. So they would say, Baruch Shem Kavol Mechuto L'Olam Ve'ed. V'chazan HaKnesset, now it continues. V'chazan HaKnesset would then say, Tik'u HaKonim B'nei Aaron Tik'u. V'chozer v'omer Mishanat Avraham Bahar Moriah, Hu Yaneh Etchem Yishma B'kol Tzachatem Yom Hazeh. Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael, Zocher Nishkachot. V'heim onim acharav, Baruch Shem Kavol Mechuto L'Olam Ve'ed. V'chazan HaKnesset omer lehem, Hariyu HaKohanim B'nei Aaron Hariyu. V'chulei, v'chein kol bracha u'bracha. Okay, so that's what would go on in the Beit HaMikdash. The difference being, they would add this first line before the bracha, and then people would answer Baruch Shem Kavol Mechuto L'Olam Ve'ed. Be'echad omer tikvu, be'echad omer Hariyu, ad shek omer et kulan. Now we get to our Rabbi Chalafta. V'chein hinig Rabbi Chalafta b'tzipori, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon b'Sichni, also both places in the Galil we talked about. Ukeshabad davar lefnei chachamim in Yavne. Okay, it doesn't say that here, but it was in Yavne. Amru lo hayuno agim ken ela b'sharei Mizrach v'har Habayit. Again, we talked about this yesterday. Some people say it's not clear. Was it that they said the Baruch Shem Kavol Mechuto L'Olam Ve'ed, and that would be the most clear, because now that we see the text of the Braita, that seems to be the most clear, because that was the main distinction between the Mikdash and the Gvulin. Alternatively, though, people say that's not the issue. We also said they had a different nusach. It said they answered Amen, not that they didn't answer Amen. It doesn't say anywhere that they said Baruch Shem Kavol Mechuto L'Olam Ve'ed. Wasn't clear. And then some people say it has to do with that they did tkiot, they did shofarot and chatzotzrot, like they did in the Mikdash, and not just with the shofar. There were different explanations. Anyway, whatever it was, Yavne went very out against it. Okay? That's the end of the Braita. Now, again, we have to remember, where do we come from? This is all to prove that it's six brachot, not seven, and the seventh is the extension of Ga'al Yisrael, because there we add extra stuff. So, V'ita Amre, Kidetanya, some people use this bright as a proof text, okay? I tried to line them up so that you see the differences, although I didn't line up to the very end, but I tried to line up a little. Again, there's not a huge amount of difference here. It's just a little bit of a different nusach, I think. Maybe you can help me find a difference. I really couldn't find a big difference. Omer lefnehem, esrim v'arba brachot, shmon esrei shebchol yom, umusif aleim od shesh. This is the only difference, really, is not that there's a difference practically between the two brightot, it's just that this bright explicitly says we add six, right? This is a much clearer brighta that says we add six, Votan shesh hechan omran, where do we add them? Ben goel rofe chole, okay, between those two brachot. Ma'arich b'geula, and it says it specifically, exactly as the Gemara said it, that we're ma'arich b'geula. So it's a little bit of a better proof text, even though it's clear from the earlier brachot also, but this maybe is just a better proof. V'heim onim nehur, it's going to be very repetitive. Heim onim acharav amen al kol bracha u'bracha. Bekacha you know again bigvulin. Okay? Here it's a shorter version, and that's what they would do in the gvulin. Aval b'mikdash hayu omrim, Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, Baruch Goel Yisrael, v'lo hayu onim acharav amen. Bekokach, lama lefi she'en onim amen b'mikdash? Uminayin she'en onim amen b'mikdash? She'ne'amar, kumu b'ruchu et Hashem Elokechem, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, v'yabruchu she'en kvo mechutcha, moram ha'kol b'rcha u'tila, ha'kol b'rcha u'tila, ha'kol b'rcha. Okay, the same concept, just again shorter. You can see what parts are missing the way I set it up. Okay, now we're gonna they're bringing another brayta, which is also the same kind of thing. Al harishonot u'omer Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam Baruch Goel Yisrael v'heim onim acharav Baruch Shem kavo mechutcho le'olam v'ed v'chazan ha'kneset omer tiku ha'kohanim tiku v'chozer v'omer mishanat Avraham b'har Moriah hu yaneh etchem v'yishma b'kol tzachatchem hayom hazeh. ועל השנייה הוא אומר ברוך השם אלוקי ישראל מן העולם ועד העולם ברוך זוכר נשכחות והם עונים אחריו ברוך שם כבר מוכתו לעולם בעד וחזן הכנסת אומר הריו בני ארון הריו ואומר מי שנה את אבותינו הים סוף הוא יענה אתכם וישמע בכל צחתכם היום הזה והם מריעים ותוקעים ומריעים. Okay, the only difference here, this is the first difference as far as I can tell in this braita, it's the same thing but they're saying they do truet kia trua. Okay, B'chem, which is probably where they get it from, when the Mefarshim all said that they did Tura Tkia, it comes from here. B'chem, b'chol, b'cha, b'cha, b'chat omer tig'u, b'chat omer hariu, ad shigmor kol et ha'brachot kulam, b'chem, in higra, b'chalafta b'tzipori, b'chalana b'nitro b'tzichni, k'shabah ha'davar etzach chamim, amru, lo you know again, ken el b'sharem b'shrach b'har g'bayit. There's a few interesting things. What I wanted to just point out is, first of all, it's interesting that there's so many different versions of this braita. Right? You wonder what things the Chachamim right, ended up with a lot of different versions about. This is, first of all, something that was very nahug, right? They obviously did these ta'aniyot, and they had, I don't know why exactly, but maybe this Hananya ben Tradion story also, I think, was a very central, we talked about yesterday, about the whole Yavne conflict, and Yavne trying to assert their authority, and maybe because of that, it was a very famous Mishnah, because Braita. It was one of these things that they wanted people to know about because they were trying to assert their authority and say, people went against and they tried to do things like the Beit HaMikdash and we have to make sure that things are different from the way they were done in the Mikdash and we can't do them the way they're done. And now we're in the generation after the Churban. It can't be that way. And they really wanted to make a statement of it, and maybe because of that, it was something that was taught in so many different places. Obviously something that gets taught a lot. That's why they end up with different versions, because people end up repeating them wrong and all that. So anyway, that's one direction to going. And then the next thing, just we didn't get to the very end of the page, just talks about, it's an interesting statement where if you remember in the Mishnah, there was zichronot and shofarot, and Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's not zichronot and shofarot. Right? Rabbi Yehuda omer, lo haya tzarich lomar zichronot v'shofarot, ela, he said, you should say, rav kiyah ba'aretz, the pasuk from Shmuel, and another pasuk from Yirmiyahu, that he said, dvar Hashem b'divrei ha'batzoret. Sorry, not Shmuel, Shlomo. So anyway, I'll just read this last line. Amar Rav Ada de Minyafo, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. Why did he say you don't say zichronot and shofarot? Lefisha ein omrim zichronot v'shofarot el barashanah biyovlod u'bashat melchama. Okay, he says zichronot and shofarot miyuchad, and here we add a third day that we never heard of before, or a fourth, because now we learned it for ta'aniyot. Again, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree. We talked about Rosh Hashanah. We've seen that in the past. We talked about how the Amidah on Yom Kippur of Yovel, we do Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot. We learned that in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And now we see that also B'Shat Melchama, you would say it. Okay? And they learned that from the, Rashi says, from the Pesukim about the Chatzotzrot. Okay, v'chitavo melchama ba'artzachem, which is where the Ramban gets the source for tefillah every day, right? Daily tefillah comes from there. Anyway, according to the Ramban, you're only chayav in tefillah midoraita in a tzara torer etchem, you know, when you're having a troubled situation. Okay, Shabbat Shalom.